Praise the Lord. Let's look to the Word of God today. I want to speak on the subject, holiness and the home. Holiness and the home. Call of God, separate our homes unto Him and to live in His presence. Let's begin with Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 18 to 21, the King James Bible. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And you shall teach them your children, speaking of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. And you shall write them upon the doorposts of your house and upon your gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children, in the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. What a promise of the Lord, as the days of heaven upon the earth. Verse 21 again, that your days may be multiplied in the days of your children, in the inheritance which the Lord swore to give you, as the days of heaven upon the earth. God promises days of heaven upon the earth to the family situation, to the family that is decidedly separated over unto Him. The words multiply, that He would multiply the days. It's not only speaking of a quantity, but a quality of days, that our days would have multiplication in them, that we would experience the wonder of two or three days in one day because of the presence of God, because of the life of God, such a presence of the Lord, such a holy zeal of the Lord in our homes that many days are like compressed into one. Psalm 84:10 says, one day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. He means somebody that doesn't know the Lord lives 3 years and it's not even the same as a Christian with one day in the courts of the Lord. That's what the Bible says. Because of the glory, because of the zeal, because of the beauty of the Lord in our lives. And it's true that some Christians experience more in one day than other Christians do in 5 or 6 days, because they have sought the Lord and their heart is in the Word of God and they seek the felt presence of the Lord in their lives. One day better than 1,000 elsewhere, that your days may be multiplied upon the earth. What a beautiful promise of God. How many today say, I want my days multiplied. I want to live one day in my house. And it's like it's many days of the blessing of God that has come. More out of life than we could ever have imagined because of the beauty of the Lord. Joshua said to the people of God at the end of his life, he said, if it seems evil for you to serve the Lord, if it seems inconvenient, if it's burdensome, if it's wearisome to serve the Lord, he said, then choose your idols, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. For me and my house, your days may be multiplied and the days of your children in the land of the Lord. David in Psalm 101, verses 2 and 3, what beautiful words are these? As David walked in his house, the Bible says, these are his words, I will behave wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when will you come to me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart, a clean heart. I will walk within my house. Nothing spurious there. Nothing tainted. I'm going to walk with a perfect heart. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. David said, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. It will not cling to me. I'll walk before the Lord with a perfect heart. And so we have this beautiful example in the Word of God of how we should live and conduct ourselves. And I pray this morning that you would say in your heart, I will walk in my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I'm going to separate my home unto the Lord, to the worship, the presence, the Word of God in such a way that my days will be multiplied and the days of my children upon the land that the Lord has given me. Holiness and the home, how important it is. And I feel this Holy Spirit wants to put an emphasis here this morning. You know, last Sunday night I returned home and just in time to, as I turned on the late evening news, national news, to see a video clip and of Franklin Graham of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. And I was struck by the fact that our national newscast would even put him on and show what he was saying and what he was encouraging. But it was to do with a censorship that he wants to bring forth. And the video clip had to do with the fact that Disney is remaking Beauty and the Beast, and they are introducing homosexuality into the children's film in this remake. And the producers admit an openly gay moment at the end of the film. And the poison is there, the serpent poison is there. And he's calling and he's recommending, he's asking the Christians of North America, particularly United States, but of course into Canada as well, that they would not purchase this film, this video, nor would they go to see this film in the theaters or places where it is shown. And I, in my heart, I saw that. I thought of this man of God, and I thought of our national newscast and how they would even mention this across the land. And I believe that we should honor and respect that call of this great man of God. And I appeal to that myself this morning, that we would be wise and discerning. It's amazing. People speak of Franklin Graham now, and they say the outspoken Franklin Graham. And some applaud him for his boldness. But I have to say this morning, I'm saddened to think that men of God would be called bold or outspoken if they would dare to walk on these grounds. This should be common for men and women of God. This should be true and right of holy men and women of God and parents, that we would call these things out and warn the saints. The Bible says that if the watchman does not warn the people, that his blood, their blood will be upon his hands and upon his head. But if he warns them and the people go on, their blood will be upon their own head. And so there's a call of God today for holiness in the home, that we would guide our homes properly and order them in a right way. Jesus said some powerful words in Matthew chapter 18. Speaking of little children coming forth in the homes of the people of the world, but in our homes, he said, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. What a call to protect children from evil and from the spirit of the world. Verse 10, take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. Angels seeking to protect the children that are born in this world. But woe to the person that opens up the door and begins to allow evil into the life of a child and begins to seed them with harm and evil ways. And then Matthew 18 verse 14, even so it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. It's not the will of God that one child born into this world go to a Christless eternity. But so many forces come to play, so much evil comes to play, so much draw of flesh life and sin and worldliness, but the Lord is calling holy men and women of God and holy parents to protect the house they are in, to protect the children, that they would not cause the children to stumble, that we would set up a standard, that they would know the difference between right and wrong, and that they might be able to live according to the counsel of the Lord. Jesus said in the final chapter of the book of Revelation, final chapter of the Bible, he said, the time is short. He that is holy, let him persist in holiness. And the senses, let him become more and more holy. He that is righteous, let him become more and more righteous. That there would even be a greater cleansing of the sanctuary of our hearts and our entertainments and the activities we give our lives to. Let him that is holy be more and more holy. Jesus said, let him who is unrighteous be more and more unrighteous. Let him who is filthy be more and more filthy. And we see the world fulfilling that because their time is short. But the righteous are called to be more and more holy, more and more righteous. There should be a greater separation today than ever before between the righteous and the unrighteous. We should shine with the glory of holiness, separation unto the Lord. And so the Lord calls us by his word to the holiness of our homes and our lives. I have 3 points this morning. Number 1, holiness is becoming to your house. Holiness beautifies your house. Psalm 93 and verse 5 says, holiness becomes your house, O Lord, forever. Holiness beautifies your house. Holiness is becoming to your house, O Lord. And if it's becoming to the house of the Lord, how much more should it be becoming to our house? Holiness will beautify your house. Now, we do many things to beautify our house. We put the right furniture in, and things get shabby, we replace them. We're trying to beautify our house. Nobody wants to live in a rundown house. But there's something that we must be concerned about above all. Holiness will beautify our homes. The purity, the holiness, the worship, the love of God will make our homes beautiful. Deuteronomy 7, verses 2 to 6. And when the Lord your God delivers them over to you, that is, he delivers your enemies and redeems you, gives you inheritance, you shall conquer them and utterly destroy them. You shall make no covenant with them, nor show mercy to them. Nor shall you make marriages with them. You shall not give your daughters to their son, nor take their daughter for your son. For they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. So the anger of the Lord will be aroused against you and destroy you suddenly. But thus shall you deal with them. You shall destroy their altars and break down their sacred pillars and cut down their wooden images and burn their carved images with fire. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. The Bible says concerning the images and the altars of the ungodly, it says, you shall deal with them, you shall destroy their altars, break down their sacred pillars, cut down their wooden images, and burn them, their carved images, with fire. Now, in days of old, when Moses was writing, the obscenities and lewdness and immoralities were carved in idols of wood and stone. And if you travel to some nations of the earth and see the grotesque gods and the lewd display that's carved into these gods, you'll understand. But in our day, we face a sophisticated demon attack. And the images and the idols are not carved in wood and stone before us. They come to us electronically. They come to us across the screen and in films. And the Bible says that we are to tear these images down and not set them up in our homes and not put them before our eyes. A call to holiness, a call to walk with the Lord, a call to serve him and love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. See, the Bible says, flee fornication. Flee fornication. Flee it off on the screen too. Not only flee it physically for yourself, but flee fornication. That those lewd ways of the world would not come into our eyes and into our homes and into our ears. It was said in days of old that the dove, which is a picture of the Spirit-filled believer, holy and pure, that the dove would not only flee from the hawk, but that it would not so much as even smell a single feather that fell from it. Not even smell a single feather that would fall from the ravenous bird of prey. The Apostle Paul said, abstain from all appearance of evil. 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from all appearance of evil. Not only the action, but even the association with evil. Now that's the high and holy standard of God. And if we want days of heaven upon the earth, we have to separate ourselves from unto the Lord. And we choose this day whom we will serve. We choose the level of the presence of God, the level of the power and glory of God in our homes, in our relationships, and in our activities. There are many so-called Christian liberties today, and we're all aware of it, that in the last generation, when I was growing up, and all generations prior to that, those liberties were censured. They were condemned. And other activities and other entertainments that were not entirely forbidden were at least looked upon with suspicion. But we have a generation today in the Christian culture that has found a more favorable jury. And it counts many of these so-called liberties as not guilty. But I appeal to your heart and I appeal to your spirit that we must walk in the holiness and the beauty of the Lord. And that we should be very careful what we give our eyes to and our ears to. We need to take in the presence of God. We need to honor the presence of God in our homes and in all of our entertainments. Some promising liberty have brought themselves back into bondage. Many things go today that did not go in previous generations. I think of some of the liberties, not in the immoral side, but even in the, what we'd say, neutral side or positive side. Many Christians today no longer attend the house of God because they've heard a message that it doesn't matter if you go to church or not. And yet how blatant is that against the Word of God, which says we must not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, and that the people of God from the beginning of Genesis all time gathered to serve the Lord and to love one another, encourage one another, bless one another. Some that have been faithful to the Lord in tithes and offerings of over years heard a message that you don't have to tithe anymore because nothing you do can please God anyways. Well, that remark is so novice that it hardly bears a response. We live by the Word of God. We live by the commandments of the Lord. We live by the holy standards of the Lord. And because of it, our days are multiplied and the days of our children. And we live days as the days of heaven upon the earth. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 18, the Apostle Peter in the final days of his life warned of this liberty that would bring bondage. He said, "For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption." Promised liberty, but they come become slaves and they come into bondage. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also is he brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. It doesn't matter what Christians put their approval on activity. It doesn't matter if eminent Christian leaders of the nation put their approval on certain activities. If there is a sensitivity in your heart that they're wrong by the Word of God, then you do not accept the judgments of men. You go by the Lord. You serve the Lord with all your heart. What the Christian community does is immaterial to me in my holiness with the Lord. What Christian leaders say is irrelevant to me. I want to walk in a very, very precise holiness with the Lord and a separation of heart. Holiness will beautify your house. Holiness will beautify your house. I love in our house when the worship music is being played and you can sit and do your activities and duties and the worship of the Lord is playing in the house. Not worldly music, not something that shouldn't be there, but when the presence of the Lord fills the house, there's a quality. There's days of heaven on earth. Something changes. Something happens. The Lord's encouraging us because He wants to give us days of heaven upon the earth, so we must separate ourselves. Choose you this day whom you will serve. I trust it would not seem evil to you to serve the Lord, that it will not be drudgery, a hardship, to serve the Lord, but a joy and a delight because the reward of the Lord is so amazing. Point number two today, do not be over righteous or under righteous, but discerning. Do not be over righteous or under righteous, but discerning. Philippians 1, 9 to 10, "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, That agape, that divine love of God that's poured out in your heart by the Holy Spirit, that love for God, that love for His kingdom, that love for His house, that love for humanity to know the Lord. I pray that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and all discernment. That our sensitivities would be upgraded and elevated and sharpened. That you may approve the things that are excellent. That ye may be sincere and without offense. No cause of stumbling until the day Jesus Christ returns. That our discernment would be sharpened. That we would approve things that are excellent. That as David said, we would walk in our house and behave ourselves wisely. That we might say, no more of that. I'm not going to watch that. I'm not going to say that anymore. We begin to pare away conversations and activities that do not bring forth the beautiful holiness of the Lord. Now, the Bible says, do not be over-righteous or under-righteous. Let's look at Ecclesiastes 7, 16 to 18. This is the counsel of the preacher. Do not be overly righteous, nor be overly wise. Why should you destroy yourself? Then do not be overly wicked, nor be foolish. Why should you die before your time? It is good that you grasp this, and also not remove your hand from the other, for he who fears God will escape them all. Some translations say, for the one who fears God will avoid either extreme. So the Bible says, don't be over-righteous, don't be under-righteous. Don't be overly holy, don't be underly holy. That's the call. That we have to avoid both extremes because they both bring us to a point of bondage and difficulty. There have been times in generations past where there has been an emphasis to be overly righteous or holy. And man-made rules and commandments came forth, not with respect to morality or obedience or dignity or proper conduct, but in such things as the style and length of hair and certain clothing, not that you can wear anything you want, because that even is under the jurisdiction of the Lord. He wants us to be clothed properly, but you know what I'm saying, that certain styles of dress were considered worldly. And sometimes sons and daughters that grow up in homes where has been an emphasis on over-righteousness, they have rebelled. It's like the commandments of the Pharisees, the scribes and Pharisees in Jesus' day. They went way beyond what the law of the Lord was, what the Lord's intention for His people was. God wanted them to enjoy the Sabbath day, to live in His presence, but they brought all kinds of rules to the people, where they could go, how far they could walk, what they could wear on the Sabbath day, and they brought the people into bondage, and many, of course, were rebelled against that. Sometimes in homes, we can be over-righteous and cause our children to struggle against the rules. But neither should we be under-righteous, too lax in our allowances in the home, too lax in our behaviors, too lax in the things of the church and the conversations of the home. We must avoid both extremes. And the Lord will teach every parent. The Lord will teach every father and mother. The Lord will teach every husband and wife. If you pray and spend time in the Word of God, you will know how to walk, and you will not be over-righteous or under-righteous, but you will walk in the beautiful will of the Lord. Hallelujah. Beautiful call of God on our lives. And again this morning, maybe you're monitoring your own heart already and your own activities. What have you allowed? What are you allowing in your home? Philippians 4, verse 8 says, whatsoever things are true, whatever things are lovely and just, honest, of good report, praiseworthy, whatever things are virtuous, think on these things. These are the things we honor. These are the things we seek to instill in our homes, those values, that spirit, that power of the Lord. Serve the Lord with a full heart. Paul said, be imitators of me. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1. What a powerful verse. said, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Even as I also am of Christ. He said, don't just follow me, but follow me because I'm following Christ. I honor what Christ honors. I value what Christ honors and values. And in our home, that should be our spirit. Follow me as I follow Christ. That we should guard ourselves and guard our activities and guard our conversations. And we really should say, would Jesus be okay with this? Would Jesus enter into this conversation? Would he be pleased with what I'm doing? Would he be pleased with what I'm watching and what I'm saying? Or sometimes do we get into conversations and entertainments where Jesus would have to get up and leave the room? He's the welcome guest. He's the unseen guest with us at all times. And I believe that we should be properly righteous and honor the Lord in all things. And that if Jesus wouldn't be comfortable with something I'm saying or doing in my home, that I would set it aside as not being worthy of the great and holy calling to which I've been called of the Lord. Number three today, the more holy, the more happy. The more holy, the more happy. Hebrews 1 and 9, you have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. The more holy, the more happy, the more joy of God flows in our life, the more we separate ourselves unto the Lord, his worship, his word, his fellowship, honoring the word of the Lord and speaking of the Lord in our conversations, the more joy flows into our life. Psalm 16:11 says, in your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Sometimes we're seeking pleasures that really don't deliver. They satisfy the flesh life. They satisfy the curiosity for a moment, but they don't bring joy into our life. And that's why we should spend time. We should find time daily to commune with the Lord. Adequate time. Time in the presence of God, because when we're in his presence, there's fullness of joy. The more of God I can bring into my life, the greater is my joy. The more I hate iniquity, the more I turn away from lewd entertainment and wrong conversation, the greater is the flow of God, the greater is joy in my life. What a wonderful way to live. Truth is, we cannot manufacture joy by our will. Joy is a product. Joy is the result. Joy is the reward of holiness as we're separated unto the Lord. And the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. We choose to rejoice in the Lord. We choose his ways. And what happens? His joy and his fullness comes into our heart. Two disciples on the Emmaus Road, so dejected and disheartened by events that had taken place, but a heavenly messenger drew alongside the resurrected Christ, but their eyes were holden that they did not recognize him. And Jesus began to fellowship with them. And the Bible says he began to open up the scriptures as he walked with them. They were conversing about the word of God, sharing the word of God, Jesus and these two men. And when it was over, they said, did not our heart burn within us while he walked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? How wonderful to have your heart on fire because you've been conversing with Jesus and he's been opening up the word and the word is living in you. You hear the voice of God out of his word speaking to you all day long, and even in the night you hear that voice, that fellowship. That's a life on fire. I wonder how many times we've gone to bed hungry and empty and cold, because our conversation has turned away from what is holy and right, or our entertainments have fallen onto that which is not entirely pleasing to the Lord. And instead of going to bed with our hearts on fire, lifted up in the presence of God, some moments in heavenly worship and presence of God, our hearts have been cold and our hearts have been empty and we've fallen asleep hungry. The more holy, the more happy. Hallelujah. The more we separate to the Lord, the greater the joy that flows into our life. The Lord wants to give us days as the days of heaven upon the earth. And so each one of us must make our choices and discern properly and separate our lives to the Lord. Holiness is not only separation from the things of the world, but holiness is separation unto the Lord, His fellowship, His word, His life, His spirit. Perhaps this morning you're here, and as you're under the word and Holy Spirit has been speaking to your life, maybe this morning, maybe over weeks or months, and cautioning you or calling you from certain things. Maybe you have given up some ground to the enemy and you need to take it back today. Maybe you've given up some ground in your speech, your attitudes, complaint and criticism, voice of woe and mourning and difficulty. Maybe you've given up some ground to the enemy, and this morning you say, I'm going to take that ground back. Maybe you've given up some ground to the enemy in entertainments and pleasures. You know, there are so many wonderful things in this world that God has given us. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Lord has blessed us with so many wholesome and interesting things to give our attention to. Why would we give our attention to the suspicious things of the world, to their entertainments, even programming that we can watch? There are so many wholesome and informative programs that we can watch. We can fill our lives with wonderful information today. Informations and interests that do not defile. But today maybe you would say, yes, I've given up some ground. I'm going to take it back in the presence of the Lord. And I encourage your heart today. I encourage you today. Walk with a perfect heart in your home. Do not set any wicked thing before your eyes. Put away from you a froward mouth, unclean attitudes, and serve the Lord. You have loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even your God, has anointed you with the oil of joy above your fellow Christians. That's what it's saying, above your companions, because you walk in that holy separation to the Lord. Moses, take off your shoes. The ground on which you stand is holy. Moses, 40 years on the backside of the desert, walking in wilderness areas, guiding his sheep to some pastures and some grass here and there and vegetation. 40 years in the wilderness and bramble bushes here and there by the score, burning heat of the sun, finding shelter, finding water, wilderness floor world. But something happened. Moses, take off your shoes. The place whereon you stand is holy. And all of a sudden, as Moses came in touch with the holiness of God, what happened? A burning bush was set on fire. And a voice from God was heard. An angelic presence came, and vision came into his life, and a prophetic call returned to his life. If you separate yourself unto the Lord, your world will come alive with color. Moses stood on ground that other people would say was barren. There's nothing in this world. It's a bramble bush. It's a wilderness world. And yet here was a man of God alive with the fire of God, standing in the same place as other people. And yet he was filled with vision, filled with prayer, filled with determination to serve the Lord, because holiness had affected his life. Hallelujah. Joshua, take off your shoes. The ground you stand on is holy. Joshua, you're not standing as other men anymore, looking out at a world and fields and hills and mountains and rivers. All of a sudden, Joshua stood in the holiness of God, and he saw a man with a sword drawn, the captain of the Lord of hosts, who was going to give him inheritance and give him a land flowing with milk and honey. And though the image faded, the vision never left Joshua's life. He saw differently than other men. See, there are people, Christians too, who walk in this world and all they see is the mundane. If you walk in the holiness of God, even the mundane will be a delight as you serve the Lord. Even the routine duties of life and every day, if you walk in the holiness of God, they will be alive because you'll be serving the Lord with joy. God wants us to see as he sees. Holiness will open your eyes. Holiness will put fire in your heart. Holiness will bring joy into your life. And call of God today is that we would separate ourselves more and more. He that is holy, become more and more holy. He that is righteous, become more and more righteous. And separate yourself unto the Lord. The days may be multiplied. Days of you and your family and your children as the days of heaven upon the earth. Amen. Let's stand together this morning. Hallelujah. Holiness is becoming to our lives and to our house, to our homes, Lord. We praise the beauty of holiness this morning according to your word. We praise the beauty of holiness. We speak of how beautiful holiness is, how wonderful it is, Father. Today, let there be fresh decision in our hearts to separate ourselves. Father, I pray, give us discernment more and more in our lives, how to conduct ourselves in word, in action, entertainment, Lord, recreation. We would be a holy people, a special treasure unto you. Set a watch at our lips, Lord. Keep the door of our lips, Father. Let us speak life and not death, for death and life are in the power of the tongue. People separated to the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. As we come to the close of the service and lift the worship before the Lord, let's offer the Lord our lives in a fresh way. For purity, for righteousness, moral conduct, right words and right spirit in all things. We are the people of the Lord. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Man, let's offer ourselves in the altar of the Lord for a moment today. Lay out your life before him. Some area that needs to be refined or set aside, repented of. Be tender in the presence of the Lord. Say, Lord, if you're not okay with something that I'm doing, I'm not okay with it. Stand before you. Hallelujah. Holy is the Lord. Let's begin to lift it to him. Oh.